Hi, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Exit Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
If you hear any distant barking, believe it or not, it's not Bo. It's a couple of dogs behind us that tend to have weekends off. they hang out outside, and then anytime anyone, like, steps or, like, we close a door outside, those dogs go bananas. So
yeah, it's kind of intense.
If you hear it... And you're like, well, it's just ignoring Bo. Bo, I assure you, looked up from the couch he was sleeping on, saw that we were up and about, and then put his head back down. It was like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah. It's fascinating how Bo is just like, these dogs are not worth my time.
Bo does not care about these dogs, which is great because he tends to bark at all other dogs. Oh, my God. We had to clean up so much mud this morning. Like, it was out of control. You know, 8 o'clock in the morning, Bo decided he was going to be a dog who dislikes other dogs, as he does. But, you know, he's worn out a patch in front of our house, in our front yard. He's, like, literally worn out a patch of
what used to be grass.
It's now mud. And our, you know, the sprinklers go off in the morning to water what little grass we have. But it was a overcast day this morning, so everything stayed pretty wet. And, oh boy, Bo dragged in so much mud. So I had to bring him in. The only way I could get Henry to come in was like, hey, Henry, can you come in, but close the door behind you? Then he was like on board because he had a task. And then I had to clean up Bo's paws, each paw individually with one of our kitchen towels. And then Henry wanted his feet cleaned. And then I told Henry we had to clean everything up. So I was like, we got to clean the floor now. You're on spray duty. So he was very excited about that. So he kept spraying and I was mopping with the Bombas mop. What is it called? No, not Bombas.
Bona.
Yeah. I get our past sponsors confused. And then he wanted his playroom cleaned. So he sprayed some in the playroom. And then we were done with that. And then all weekend, he's sort of been down on Bo a little bit, where he's like, he just wants to leave Bo outside.
Yeah, I'm so interested. Like, this is so interesting.
He's like, leave Bo outside, go in Dita's car. And I'm like, wait, we can't leave Bo outside and leave.
Both things can't be true.
Right. So, anyway.
I mean, he's just in a phase of, like, wanting to control his environment. Like, I think this is, from what I understand or what I've been talking with friends about, like, everyone's 2.5-year-old is like, and by the way, he's exactly 2.5 today.
Congratulations, Henry.
Happy 2.5 birthday, Henry.
He's 2.5 and my sister is 50.
Wow. Did you wish her a happy birthday?
Nope, I haven't done that yet.
You should do that. Why do you do that while we're chatting?
I was going to assume my mother wanted me to FaceTime, so I assume she wanted, you know, a Henry situation, and I can't provide that right now, so why would I disappoint them by just being me?
Oh, okay. All right.
You understand?
Sure.
She called, and I tried to FaceTime her back. I'm explaining this out loud because I know my mother listens to this podcast. And then she didn't answer. Mm-hmm. And then Henry it was lunch nap time. Mm. And then my mother texted me. It was like, your sister's 50th birthday. Aren't you gonna call her?
Oh, boy.
And I was like, well, yeah, but I gotta wait now for Henry to wake up. And then here we are recording a podcast.
Yeah, here we are.
Anyway.
Yeah, so... You know, every little thing he wants to control. Like, I came in to get him from his nap this afternoon, and I turned on the light like I usually do, and he said, turn off light.
Really?
Yeah, for, like, no reason. But then he was also singing Down by the Light.
Yeah.
Down by the light.
Yeah, you know, he takes inspiration wherever it comes from. He's been particularly angry about not being allowed to do things. Like, if you're cleaning up or something and you want to, you know, if you're going to throw something out, but he sees that you're throwing it out, you throw it out, and then he gets very angry that he, Henry do it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, and that extends to throwing out his own diaper.
Yeah, and if you do it, he will have a fit unlike anything you've ever seen in your life, where he immediately thinks the world is ending. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Your only recourse is to pick the diaper out of the thing and hand it to him.
Mm, yeah.
And then he immediately is like, totes fine. Like today, he wanted to wash my car. And we finished washing my car. And, you know, I have the big brush, this big green brush that I mm-hmm, brush the thing with. Mm-hmm. So he found a giant stick that he thought would be a great brush. So he tried to clean my car with a very sharp wooden stick. Like a stake. So it was about 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So he just started just hitting my car really hard with a stick after I washed it. I had to explain to him that that's not a brush.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I took the stick away and put it in the corner, he got so sad and wanted us to wash the car again. And he got so... And the only thing I could do to like get him not to be so upset was tell him it was now time to dry the car. And luckily, I have two of the exact same towel, so I handed him one.
Aww.
And he ran around drying the car. Big boys weekend here, you know?
Yeah.
Beau and Henry and Matt.
I was away this weekend on a big mom retreat.
Yeah. You sound a little nasally.
You know, the air up there is so dry. First of all, I just woke up from a nap.
Yeah.
Because I barely slept all weekend. Not mm-hmm. because I was partying, but because, as Matt put it, I am like the princess in the pea.
She cannot sleep unless it's like optimal conditions. It's very strange.
Yeah. So first night, literally did not sleep. Like just...
I think she was just so amped up.
Could not sleep.
She was like, I'm so amped up. I'm not at home.
Well, I wasn't the only one who didn't sleep. It was really hot in our cabin. And then we opened the windows the second night, and it was much better. But like my mattress was really uncomfortable. There was just like a combination of things. Anyway, point being, I just woke up from a nap. The air was really dry up there. At one point, I blew my nose and blood came out, and I had to use some like saline nose solution.
We are so different.
What?
If I did that, I would just move on with my day.
Yeah, but... Last time we were there, which was 2 years ago, not last year, my friend got this horrible bloody nose from the dry air, and I just wanted to avoid getting like a gushing bloody nose.
Interesting.
Yeah, the air is it's like,
where is this?
It's in Running Springs, California. The elevation is like 8,000 feet.
Okay.
It's up very, very high, and so you're dealing with like a little bit of like altitude Wooziness plus the super dry air. Like, it's just like a lot of kind of like environmental change.
It's a lot to put your moms through for one weekend.
Yeah, we had to take a PCR test like in advance of the trip, like a few days advance of the trip. Then the day of, everyone had to take a rapid test.
So if you contracted
everyone had to
it,
be vaccinated.
So if you contracted it before yesterday or the day before you left, no one knows, and you just went to a super spreader event.
Yes. Everyone was vaccinated.
Cool.
I mean, I hope no one gets COVID from it, but I think we did everything we could to avoid.
No. Everything would have been not to do it.
Okay. Thank you for your input.
Thank you. I'm a doctor now.
Yep. Anyway, but it was super fun. I was very grateful that Matt was able to stay home and take care of Henry all weekend. And,
yeah, we survived, sort of. It was a time. Dory came home right as we're playing the new game, Dita's Hat, where I put Henry on my head with his legs in front of my face. And I tell Henry, I just say out loud, "Where's Henry? I want to show him my cool new hat." And I spin around really fast looking for Henry, and he thinks it's very funny. So go ahead, other dads or moms out there, you want to use that, you can.
He does.
It's a free game.
He does think it's so funny.
We did a lot of big one on Mama's bed. That's where Dita piles up the pillows at the head of the bed and then launches his child into the pillows. I just fling him. Mm-hmm. I just throw him mm-hmm. into the pillows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. No pillow in crib. We did not do pillow in crib.
Oh, interesting.
Which is the game where Henry sits happily in his crib while every pillow in his room gets thrown in there, covering yeah. him up. A lot of lengthy bath time.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know, because of his, you know, 45 light-up golf balls he's got in there mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, what else? I mean, you know, we did some park time. Mm-hmm. This morning, he said he didn't want to go to the park because it was going to be too wet.
He said that?
Yes.
Because it was wet yesterday?
Yeah. I was like, do you want to go to the park? And he was like, too wet. Everything wet.
Oh.
Even though I brought a towel and dried everything off. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
But that was, you know, so yeah.
You guys went out for blueberry muffins.
That was after the wet park mm-hmm. yesterday morning.
I feel like you really did like Henry and Dita's greatest hits.
It was all I could do to not. I just didn't want a situation where he was watching 93 hours of fucking garbage trucks on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I think he was watching 92 hours of it, so I succeeded.
I think you did a great job.
I think he watched too much YouTube, if I'm honest. Like, it was driving me crazy at one point. Mm-hmm. I set Alexa alarms. Mm-hmm. Made him turn it off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't care where we're going, but we're not staying in the house.
Wow. When Matt...
That's what happened this morning. Mm-hmm. That's why we ended up in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I texted to say I was going to be home in an hour. And like 45 minutes later, I get a text from Matt. I'm out with Henry.
Yeah, we were... Because I had left my phone in the car. And Henry wanted... He's like, "Do you have a phone?" And I was like, "It's in the car." He's like...
He knew I texted you.
Go get it. Then I was like, if we go get it, we have to get up from your snack situation. Because he like found a park bench and like was happily eating his snack. And then when he wanted to go for a walk in a giant circle, he did not want to walk 16 feet over to my car to get the phone. So we just went without the phone. But he kept wanting to like hit the button, and there's no crosswalk buttons in Beverly Hills. It's all automatic.
Oh.
So he's very upset about that.
Oh, that is upsetting.
Yeah. But otherwise, you know, I think he had an okay time. I'm trying to remember this morning. Yeah, this morning was like the big like clean up after the dog, wash the car, and then breakfast, get him out. You know, he watched some YouTube. He watched too much YouTube, I swear to God. Really drove me crazy. It
seemed like he survived.
He did.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
If I have to see the Thrash and Trash 1 hour trash truck compilation one more time.
Which he like, so it's just like, you know, hour long compilation of just like garbage trucks picking up trash, and I'd say each garbage truck is probably on the screen for 30 seconds to a minute or something. What do you say?
Yeah,
he knows exactly, like he knows every truck. He knows what every truck is picking up. Like often there's multiple colors of barrels in front of the house, and if there's like a green barrel, red barrel, and a gray barrel or something, you'll be like, are they going to pick up the gray barrel? And he'll be like, no. Red barrel. Like, he knows.
He also knows, like, when, you know, when one of the barrels is going to fall.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And then, like, he wants to watch Miss Rachel in between. So it's, like, turns into, like, I'm like a YouTube
DJ.
Video DJ. I'm just like... I gotta skip the certain songs he doesn't like.
Can we? Is it possible to like make up like a playlist kind of thing?
No, because he likes portions of these videos.
Yes.
I mean, I'd have to sit in Final Cut Pro and
As soon as you did that, he would change his mind about which parts he liked. So
100% correct.
There's no point.
Although I did for like 7 minutes this morning, I had him watching music videos that were not children-y.
Did you guys do any record time?
Yes. He really wanted Modern Guilt, Beck Modern Guilt.
Oh.
Like, really? And I was like, this is what you want to listen? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you sure you don't want to listen to the new Let It Be? Huh? And he's like, nope, this. And then I put it on pretty loud. And he was like, into it, and let it like play the entire side of the album.
Really?
Yeah. And then he's like, now we'll go. Let's go in the playroom. And then like once the record stopped, he was like, annoyed that the record stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, you have so much influence over him.
I mean, I didn't mean to influence him with Modern Guilt. But like, it's like that album starts funny too. And then he was like, it was just like weird that he was like way into it.
And he like knew which album correlated to like what music.
I have no idea.
Oh, interesting.
Or if it was just like, this is my first pick.
Yeah.
And thusly, we must now listen to what I have selected.
Right.
If we do not, I will be so sad. And you will be the worst ever.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first song is Orphans. And he was like, I put it on, I was like, you're sure? And he's like, yeah. This is how it starts.
Think I'm stranded, but I don't know where. I got this diamond, I don't know how to show.
So, 2.5-year-old just grooving.
I love this so much. Next time he does that, get a video.
Of him with Modern Guilt?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like we could like tag Beck in it and he would be into it. He's like littlest Beck fan.
Maybe he's Beck's kid. He looks more like Beck than me.
Whoa. What are you saying?
He looks more like Beck Hansen than I do.
Do you think there's a mix-up
or rather than Henry
at the fertility clinic?
I don't know, but the blonde blue eyes. In a fashion sense, you know. I think it's because all of his clothes go together, but he does seem to figure out how to color coordinate.
He really does. It's really wild.
I think all his clothes go together.
I mean, they kind of do. That's like kind of what I've been going for, but like he does often make things coordinate.
Yeah. He keeps trying to wear those tiny, tiny shorts, those blue and white shorts.
Oh, the striped ones?
Yeah.
They're not that tiny.
They're so short. It's so cold. So it's like,
no, I guess
dude,
it is too cold.
It's a little cold for those.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis. Oh, Matt,
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay. What is that? Oh, it was your water. I thought I was hearing some residual wind chimes or something.
No, but just I drank water of a hydro flask. That water bottle was filled up at 10 o'clock this morning with ice water, and some of the ice is still frozen.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I ordered a, with some points, I ordered a, flask, like the thing that's like Bluetooth connected.
A Bluetooth connected flask?
Like not flat, you know what I mean? Like a water thing.
Oh, yes.
Like a Bluetooth hydro flask? Yeah. That's supposed to track my water throughout the day.
Oh, cool.
And like when you're wearing the Apple Watch, like based on your activity level too, it's like you should be drinking this much or that much
that's
or whatever.
Cool.
And, you know, one of those things that you only would get if you could get it on points.
Yeah. I wonder. Oh, I'm curious about it.
It was in the here. But anyway, go ahead with your thing. You know, like the show, I guess.
Oh, the show. Sure.
Go ahead with your thing.
Well, I guess before we get into the emails, etc., from our listeners, we just should remind everyone that you can also email us at doryandmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 413-461-BABY. There's a few people who like it, who exclusively text us.
Which is like, by all means, please text away.
And, you know, we still do have our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/excellentadventure. All right. Still hearing from some people about this whole imposter syndrome question. This seems to have really struck a nerve. A chord.
I believe it is this. Hydrate Spark 3 Smart Water Bottle.
Wow.
The world's smartest water bottle. Anyway. Tracks every sip, syncs the Hydrate Spark hydration app to the iPhone. Soft grip, 20 ounces. Choose from three blah, blah, blahs. Yeah. Oh, no, that's not the one I got. Obviously, that one's not as expensive as this one. I got this one. 21 ounce steel.
Wow.
Very excited about it, guys. It keeps drinks cold up to 24 hours. And the puck glows to remind me when it's time to drink water.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Can't wait to fail at this also.
Hey.
What's your we got imposter syndrome.
Yes. Oh, this is from Carissa. who says, longtime listener. I actually wrote in right at the beginning of my... Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to say one last thing about the retreat I went on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This woman I know, who I'm like friendly with, I wouldn't call us like close friends. Like, we've never hung out one-on-one.
Not now. Now maybe you will.
Now maybe we will. She came up to me like as we were finishing up breakfast this morning. She was like, hey, would you mind giving me a progesterone shot? And, you know, progesterone shots have to like basically go kind of above your butt.
Honey, we all know.
Okay. And she's like,
we all saw Sex in the City.
She was like, I assume like you've given them before. And I was like, actually, I've failed at giving one to myself. But Matt used to give them to me. But like, I know how to do a shot.
I would have driven up. I'm gonna give Henry and I something to do.
We went in the bathroom. She had the syringe all ready to go. Plunged it in.
Good to go. Progesterone'd.
Yeah, she's getting her beta results on Friday. So
knock on the wood.
Fingers crossed for her. Anyway, just thought that was a funny little coda to the weekend. All right. Carissa says, I actually wrote in right at the beginning of my IVF journey about neurofibromatosis and pregnancy. Anyway, as soon as I heard you read the email from Lauren talking about imposter syndrome, I immediately paused the pod to send in an email. Long story short, I went through IVF to avoid passing on my genetic condition to my future child. I never tried to get pregnant through sex or with an IUI, so I have no idea if I would have had a hard time. My husband and I went straight to IVF with PGS and PGD testing, which took nearly a year of genetic road mapping to get to the point where an embryo could be implanted. As a side note, science is amazing. I was so unbelievably fortunate to get pregnant with our daughter on the first round. I'm extremely open with basically everyone having gone through IVF. However, I often feel like a fraud. I feel like I have to tell people I went through IVF for genetic reasons, but I worry people think I'm trying to disparage people who went through IVF due to fertility struggles.
What?
On the other hand, if I don't mention the genetic component, I worry I'm being misleading. I'm sure this all boils down to my anxiety and societal pressure on women. Regardless, I can't help feeling like that every time I mention IVF. Lauren and everyone else who feels that way, you are not alone. Your feelings are 100% valid, and you are absolutely allowed to feel them. One thing a former therapist told me was that your experiences are significant and important to you, even if you perceive someone else has it worse, quote unquote. It doesn't make your feelings any less valid. I should probably try to remember that more than I do, but I wanted to pass it along. Thank you guys for all that you do. You helped me get through one of the hardest, most isolating times of my life. I really appreciate your openness and honesty about everything. Carissa, who is in 700-ish square feet in New York City, with a husband, a nearly two-year-old, and a very dramatic 11-year-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and Bichon Frise mix. Maybe this is blasphemous, but I'm sorry to report no hot dogs for me. P.S. If Lauren or anyone else who feels similarly wants to reach out, please feel free to give them my email. P.P.S. I absolutely loved. Thanks for waiting. Oh, thank you.
That's the book portion of the podcast over with. I tried a hot dog again. Yesterday.
Oh.
About some Nathan's hot dogs.
And?
I boiled two and then didn't finish the one.
Okay.
Bo had the other half.
Okay.
And then I threw out the other one that I had boiled.
All right.
And then I put the pack in the garbage.
Interesting. Sounds like you've kind of soured on hot dogs.
No. Just these cheap imitations that float around out here on the West Coast.
I would say Nathan's is a cheap imitation.
I think it is.
Wow.
And, you know, it's like that or a Hebrew National. I'm just like, guys, come on. Get some pork in the game.
Carissa, thank you for this email. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I love this thing that your therapist said about, you know, it doesn't make your feelings any less valid, even if you think someone else has it worse. There's always going to be someone who has it worse.
I mean, unless you're out there literally having it the worst, then you have it the worst.
Then yay, congrats. Have it the worst. You have it the worst. Okay. Let's hear a voicemail.
Oh, it was also like it was a rough weekend also, in the sense of like Friday night, the Red Sox like losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's also why I was in bed so early. Like, they lost, and I was like, there's nothing left for me in the waking world.
Oh, wow.
Good night.
Okay.
And I went to sleep.
All right.
Game 7 would have been last night, which is probably why I also decided to go to sleep.
Aw.
Yeah. Anyway. Great job, guys. Seriously, though. 2021 Red Sox were incredible to watch all season and played so much better than everyone thought they would. And I'm very proud. And I will have the memories of them beating the Yankees and the Rays in my brain forever. Good day. All right. If anyone cared, that's my feelings.
Okay. Here is a voicemail.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I just wanted to sympathize with the listener who feels like she's struggling with imposter syndrome for her infertility treatment. My husband and I did try the group therapy route one time and one time only, and even when we left, we thought, that's just not for us. Despite the fact that we had probably been going through infertility treatments like twice as long as everybody there, we just kept getting looks from people. We're definitely the people who deal with things by like cracking jokes and things like that, and that was definitely not the audience for making uncomfortable jokes about our infertility. And we just felt like, same thing, it didn't matter how long we'd been going through it. People just didn't think that we were, I guess, sad enough, I suppose. You know, and even now, after having a kid, I still go through it, you know, with, like, you know, I unfortunately had a miscarriage after one of my transfers, and same thing, my miscarriage was very early, I passed the baby on my own, like, there was no need for any type of DNC, and I still feel that imposter syndrome, and when people start, you know, talking about pregnancy loss, I feel like I don't get to participate. Get to participate is probably not the right way to say it, but I think you understand what I mean. So, you know, it's totally normal, and I'm so glad, you know, you guys have offered this avenue for people to feel like they have a place where they can express themselves. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Everybody else who thinks they're not good enough, call in.
All right. Well, let's...
Honey, there is some wacky bullshit for sale.
Yeah, I feel like you buy at least 50% of it.
I don't buy things like the Jack's Jocks Kettlebell Connect 2.0.
Was that a Bluetooth-enabled kettlebell?
Sure is. How about the... Oh, I have that. How about the Jack's Jocks Foam Roller Connect? Yes, it is a Bluetooth-enabled foam roller.
Who is this Jack's Jocks?
I don't know, but have you thought about getting a smart LED jump rope?
No.
Have you thought about getting a thermosmart temporal thermometer for your, you know,
I think
that's for your forehead.
Weren't those the thermometers that like predicted COVID or something, or like knew when people had COVID?
I don't know.
I think they are.
We were best at COVID.
Yeah.
Way to go. Anyway, accessories. So weird. I didn't even think about clicking on this. Okay. Continue with our show.
Okay. This is from Megan. Hi, Matt and Dory. I recently re-listened to the Gilmore Guys podcast. Living alone, working from home means I have a lot of silence to fill, and I heard Matt's plug for this podcast that I missed the first time around.
Wow.
I'm now about a year into your podcast, and you might have gotten similar emails to mine before, but I just wanted to reach out in case you hadn't. My story. I've never really felt strongly that I wanted to give birth to my own kids. And when I was in my early 30s, I knew it would be a long time until I wanted kids in my life, but I also felt the biological urge to know that part of me would go on in this world. So I donated my eggs through my graduate school. It's also a medical school, starting around 2010, and the recipient had a successful pregnancy. For me, the process was really great. I felt really well taken care of, and my body responded well to the drugs. I produced a lot of eggs and didn't feel any different, even with the crazy amount of hormones, and so I did it two more times. The second time, I met the couple after they had my eggs, and the third time, I talked to the couple before the donation over the phone. I love these conversations. It is honestly one of the best feelings to have someone essentially say, I would like to raise someone like you. Unfortunately, the middle couple never had a successful pregnancy, but listening to your podcast reminded me to check in with the clinic, and I found that the third couple has had two children with my eggs, and they still have more embryos. Wow. Listening to your podcast also gave me a lot more insight and empathy for what these couples probably went through before they got to the point of doing egg donation. So overall, I just want to make a plug for egg donation to any younger women who aren't 100% sure they do want to give birth, but also have an inkling that they're going to be older when they are ready to start creating a family and are considering freezing their eggs out of fear of losing that option. For me, this felt like a gift to my future self. Instead of paying a ton of money for something that might happen in the future, I got paid a ton of money for someone to have kids right away. I have my contact info open, so if any of the offspring, my affectionate term for them, want to meet me in the future, they can, and I hope they do. I've kept my ultrasounds of the eggs, so I'd be able to show them their very first picture when they were only half themselves. Also, if any of your listeners are considering egg donation and have questions, it's something I love talking about, and I'm so happy I did it. Thanks for the podcast, Megan.
The spin you put on the sentence, my own kids, really made me think this was going to be her deciding to be a surrogate, but it like went the complete other way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because you're like, I never really felt strongly that I wanted to give birth to my own kids, but that's what it sounded like. And then here I am thinking, when's this coming?
It's kind of a similar concept.
I would say that it is not a similar concept. In the sense that, like, I would say it's the breezier concept. So you're not dealing with the first trimester of nausea, et cetera. Anyway. This next podcast email is here. Is this, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. It's from Rebecca. Someone who is in her mid to late 30s, when going through fertility treatments, I'm aware of how much of a factor age is when trying to conceive. And that's the growing number of women trying to conceive in their 30s and 40s is a primary driver for the growth in fertility treatments. However, I also wonder about other possible factors that are contributing to the increased number of couples who have difficulty getting pregnant, in particular, environmental factors such as exposure to all sorts of chemicals, plastics, etc., that can impact the hormones and reproductive health. Oh, it's no mystery. We're all sterilizing ourselves slowly. After going through years of fertility treatments, I'm now wondering what, if anything, my husband and I can do to reduce the risk of that our children will need fertility treatments. Okay. Wow. Cart before the horse. That's my editorial right there. I try to do things like storing food in glass containers, not microwave and plastic, etc., but it feels like small potatoes given a large amount of synthetics and chemicals we are exposed to in all sorts of ways. Curious if you or any other eggheads have thoughts on how environmental factors could impact fertility. Any other tips for minimizing exposure to help maximize reproductive health? Thank you, Rebecca. 2,400 square feet, Southern Maryland, 3 kids, 1 IUI, 1 IVF, 1 sex baby. Good dozen hot dogs so far this year. Well, let me tell you, first of all, I would cut the hot dogs back, probably. That can't be good for fertility. They're already taking 7 minutes off your life.
Wow.
Per hot dog.
Okay.
I would probably get rid of all Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Any radio signals that you could probably cut out with some tinfoil would be good.
Honey, you sound like you're mocking her.
No, that's not to mock her. That is to mock the fact that we are in a society that is full of external factors that we cannot control.
Yes. I agree with that.
But yes, glass containers, great.
That you can control. I just went to the page on the National Institute of Health website about endocrine disruptors. I think these are the things that, you know, these are all known endocrine disruptors, and they just don't know, like, how much of stuff you need to be, they don't know a ton about like how, the amount of stuff you need to be exposed to have it actually have an effect. So, but these are all things that they know are known endocrine disruptors, like BPA, dioxins, perchlorate, PFAS, phthalates, phytoestrogens, PBDE, PCBs, and triclosan. So like, what is that? I mean, there's BPA in many plastic products, including food storage containers. So, yeah, don't microwave in plastic. There's, you know, nonstick pans.
NSPs, that's also what they're called, nonstick pans.
Not great. Phthalates are found in cosmetics, like food packaging, children's toys, medical devices. I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like it's important to know about these things and try to eliminate what you can without making yourself absolutely crazy. Because I think that this can become, like, for if you have kind of, like, obsessive tendencies and you become fixated on this, I think that this can, I've seen this sort of, like, over, like, become sort of debilitating for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think Matt's right in the sense of, like, to some extent, this is just the, you know, industrial world that we live in.
We're being bombarded constantly with things on frequencies we don't even understand.
But yet. Yes, don't microwave in plastic.
I know somebody who turns off their Wi-Fi at night.
Really?
Yes. And I'm just like,
interesting.
What?
Wow.
Okay. It's, I mean, look, I'd love to ask them to turn on their phone and then hit the button to jump on a Wi-Fi network and to count the number of Wi-Fi networks that show up on that phone. And then maybe start putting flyers in the doors for other neighbors to turn off their Wi-Fi, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So I hear you. But try not to let this overwhelm you.
Yes. I guess that was my original point.
Yeah.
That I made in a very inconsiderate way. Thank you.
Okay.
We should probably take another break.
We should.
Be right back.
Okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back.
Hello. Okay. This next email is from Chuck. Do you want to read this one?
Okay. This is from Chuck. Chuck says, I microwave everything in plastic. Is that okay? Oh, Chuck, no. It's so weird that you wrote that email. Just kidding. Chuck wrote, responding to Veronica's questions for travel advice. This was last week. Questions about car seats and such. Big question we didn't have an answer to. As well as other questions like ear popping, etc. Here we go. My wife and I just got back from a trip to Disney World with our 7, 4, and 2-year-olds. Good God. We brought our Diono. There's the dogs. Car seat onto the plane for the 2-year-old. It's how we've been flying since our oldest was a toddler. It's really easy to seatbelt in. The entire back panel can shift forward to fit even my hands. We have a special wheeled car seat dolly that we strap in for transport around the airport. Wow. I didn't realize that was a thing. And he says, I don't have the name of the brand because he's at work. Then for ear popping, peanut M&Ms are the go-to solution for Chuck's fam. And then they gate checked their B.O.B. or Bob Revolution jogging stroller without a bag. Just strapped it closed and let it ride. We should have brought the double for the 4-year-old too, but that's another story. Didn't bring headphones for the youngest, but he was content enough while awake as long as Mickey Mouse is on the screen, even if he couldn't hear it. Well, that's nice. Hope it helps in some way. Chuck, Waterford, Michigan, 1,700 square feet, 2 adults, 3 kids, a dog, cat, enough hot dogs that I didn't count them. P.S. Thanks for the Scherzer is a Psycho YouTube video. It's a lifelong Tigers fan. It made my day. Well, there you go. See how many recommendations you can get on this podcast for everything from odd baseball YouTube content that my wife seemed to enjoy for some reason to stroller tips. And the fact that there's a wheelie car seat thing is fascinating to me.
Well, the next person who wrote in, Allison, had a similar tip.
Oh, let's hear it.
And they said, when our now 12-year-old daughter was a toddler, a friend gave us the hot tip of the traveling toddler car seat travel accessory, which is basically this thing that just like lets you strap the car seat to your suitcase.
That's the least cleverly named thing I've ever seen in my life. And it's also the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, a lot of the reviews are like, you can make this yourself.
Well, it's only $13. Also saves your, you know.
Yeah. I am leaning towards...
What? This, like, I don't know. I don't know how I would deal with this thing. I think we should just get that super light one. There's multiples. This thing exists in many forms.
Yeah.
Wow. This is fascinating.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
I just can't see putting my child that close to the ground.
Yeah.
In an airport and having to push him with a thing that was not designed to be pushed.
Yeah.
Because any pressure you put on that handle, it's going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's true.
And I wouldn't want to drag the child behind me.
No.
So. Look, it might work for some people. For me, it seems odd. Unless you, like, never put the kid in it and it's just for literally getting the car seat around, then okay, yeah. I'm on board. All right. Anyway. A lot of things to think about. We've got a trip coming up in November.
We do. We need to do some logistic figuring out pretty soon. I know we are not bringing a pack and play with us this time.
Did you know that?
We are also not bringing a PlayStation with us.
Correct. We're not going to be gone long enough to have, we'll be in that other place. We might be bringing a PlayStation.
No.
What?
No, we're not bringing a PlayStation. We're not.
I'll just have to buy one for out there, too. A Florida PlayStation.
Oh, boy. No. No.
Okay.
All right.
Next.
This is from Yana. She writes, I haven't written to you guys in what feels like years, but when I checked, it was only April 2020 when I was pregnant with our first science baby. Lockdown in Sydney, Australia has been brutal until now, so it has made time feel really slow as we have not moved from our home. I've now gone back to work 2 days a week after being home for 13 months with my incredible son. I have to admit, it was hard to juggle the first 3 months of being a mother and keep up with the most incredible pod, so I have been trying to catch up, but I continuously feel like I've been missing out on bits and pieces. So, could you both be so kind and answer these questions? What is this whole hot dog counting thing?
I don't know. It came from a time someone wrote an email. We're talking about hot dogs. I don't even remember anymore, much like I don't remember the square footage thing. And it's now just a thing where people tell me how many hot dogs they've eaten this year, and I'm fascinated by it. So it stays in the show. Opening song disappeared because... I just took it off just in case copyright thing. I got an email from Acast that went out to every podcast. And then I got a second email from Acast that went out to every podcast. And I was like, you know, it's easier than dealing with these emails. Just cutting the song.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, modern guilt.
Wise opening song disappeared. I loved it so much. And it always made me excited for what's to come. Thank you for keeping me company during my very long drives to work and putting the biggest smile on my face. P.S. Will you guys try for another baby? I seem to have missed that part, too. My husband and I have booked in to see our IVF clinic in the new year again. So fingers crossed everything works out again. Love you both. Big kisses, Yana.
I mean, I don't think the door has closed on that. Time may be closing the door, but... I weirdly was like, when I was just with Henry by myself, I was like, kind of this would weirdly be easier with a second kid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't get easier for like 3 years, though.
I know.
But then it would be a lot easier.
But you know how much I like to put in a lot of effort and hard work into a thing that it eventually will pay off. I don't like instant gratification.
No, that's the opposite of what you like.
Oh, yeah.
I like putting a lot of hard work and long-term planning into a thing.
Interesting. They're so different.
Okay. This is from Tana. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. Not sure why I haven't considered writing in about this before with Matt's love for Disney, but on this week's pod, you were discussing a Disney barn. It made me think I should write in and let you know that a longtime listener of the pod lives in Walt Disney's hometown, Marceline, Missouri.
Marceline, Missouri, home of the Main Street USA model, essentially.
We have a Disney barn, Dreaming Tree, in Main Street USA. Disney World mimics our downtown. Very small rural town in Missouri that has a lot of Disney-inspired markers. Have loved keeping up with your fam over the years, so thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for writing in.
Husband, one-year-old science baby, two large, snuggly indoor dogs, and one non-science baby on the way. Yes, we are those people it just happened for, and it's super annoying. We are blessed, but also, for real, entirely too many hot dogs this year. Thank you, T.
Does that mean that your hot dog consumption is as a result of Marceline, Missouri? Because if you know, if everything's like so Disney over there, it's kind of bound to be hot dogs on every corner.
Oh, interesting.
That's a question. Please tell me about it. Thank you. We got one from a longtime listener, longtime writer, Julia Schulenberg.
Schulenberg.
I always say Schul for some reason. Shlemiel Shlemazel. Husband and I just started this last year, and we're already talking about doing it again. I'm Jewish. My husband is agnostic. So we're going the tradition of Chinese food on Christmas and adding our own spin by watching Gremlins. Okay. Definitely has some Christmas theme. It sure does, yeah. And it's always fun to watch the theater getting blown up. It's a 40-year spoiler in case anyone hasn't watched it yet. I recommend adding it to the watch list, especially for the scenes where the Gremlins take over the town. 840 square feet, husband. Hot dogs of 15 so far this year, Julia Schulenberg. Chinese food on Christmas. It's a thing that a lot of Jews tend to do, but it also seems like a very busy day for Chinese food.
It's a very busy day for Chinese food.
You gotta like put your order in a week ahead or something.
Yeah, it's very busy, very stressful.
Is it?
I mean, I just remember going to Golden Temple to try to pick up some Chinese food, and the place was packed.
Yeah.
People were like spilling out the door. It took like 2 hours to get our food. It was
Golden Temple, Brookline.
Iconic, an iconic Chinese restaurant
in
Brookline, Massachusetts.
There's one around the corner that I used to go to a lot, just a little hole in the wall instead of the Golden Temple.
Mm. Well, we used to go to Chef Chang's a lot. Down on Beacon Street, but it closed, sadly.
So you went further up Beacon Street.
Yeah, I mean, Golden Temple was always, it was like the expensive Chinese restaurant.
Sure, it
was, when I
was posh,
growing
you had
up.
White tablecloths.
Yeah,
there.
It was very, it was like fancy. So Golden Temple was really for like special occasions.
Which would be Christmas.
Yeah, kind of. And then there was also a place in Brookline Village called, I think it was called Bo Xing, that was acceptable as well.
You know, it's funny is all the non-Jews tended to do Chinese food on New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Which was equally as busy as Christmas was for the Jews.
Oh, interesting.
We always had New Year's Eve Christmas Chinese food.
Oh.
It was always order it 73 hours in advance,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
pick it up, and it won't be ready until, you know,
the new year.
Yeah. Essentially.
Right. Well, Julia, thank you for this suggestion. We have a voicemail on the same topic.
Hit it.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. My name is Becky. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm so excited that I finally got to pause the pod and answer a question. My husband is active duty military, and for the caller who was lamenting not being able to spend the holidays with her family. First of all, I completely understand how you feel. But second of all, it's amazing. You can do exactly what you want, how you want it. My first Christmas when I was married to my husband, we were living in South Korea, and it was the best time. We had dear, dear friends that we made while we were stationed there, and they had twins through IVF, who were three at the time. So Christmas morning, my husband and I exchanged presents, and then we put on our slippers and we ran down the hallway to our friend's apartment in base housing, and we all had a big breakfast together, and then my husband and I went back to our apartment and we drank all day. Now that we have our little guy who's almost three, our miracle science baby. And we live closer to my family. The only time we have gone down, my brother lives outside of Raleigh. And when my husband was deployed, my little guy and I went down and spent Christmas with my brother and his family. But otherwise, we stay home and we don't travel for holidays. We figure if the grandparents want to come here, they're welcome, but it is too much hassle for us to travel for every holiday. So we do exactly what we want. Our dear friends that we made when we were in South Korea live near us now. So we have a big dinner with them. But it's so much easier. There's no running between different people's houses on different days to make sure that you tick the box for seeing each family member and that you're spending the appropriate amount of time with each family member. No, none of that. So to the caller, I would say find your friend family where you are and do exactly what you want, because it's going to be great, and your little person is not going to care if there are 50 people in the house or 5 people in the house or just the 3 of you. Growing up, my favorite memories were always the Christmases that we spent at home. So good luck, and you can do this.
Bye. You got this.
You got this.
Christmas... We don't have any traditions as of yet, so maybe we'll do none of these. Chinese food seems like it's just too much. Thank you. It's from Beth. She's pausing the pod. Share family-free Christmas experiences. I lived in Vancouver for over a decade. Closest family is 10-hour car ride away. Traveling in the winter in Canada is sketchy at the best of times. Worse when everyone and their asshole is in a hurry to get someplace, so we decided early on that we just wouldn't travel. The traditions that developed. Christmas Eve, we'd go out for Chinese food, often someplace fancier than we'd regularly go. As per our habit, we would order enough food for 8 people, servers were always commenting, and then take the leftovers home. Then we'd watch a movie, rarely Christmas-themed. Christmas morning proper, we would laze about, rarely bothering to get dressed, booze in the morning, coffee, and eating leftover Chinese food whenever we were hungry. Again, watching movies or whatever moved us. There would always be a phone call or FaceTime to the family. We didn't exchange gifts, but inevitably my mom would send us something, and we would have a package to open eventually. The day was ours, and I loved it. Boxing Day, that's the 26th for the uninformed. We would be invited to friends for dinner. Usually 17 to 20 of us would show up. The host would make prime rib and scalloped potatoes. I'd make a huge farm turkey, stuffing, and a vat of gravy. Other folks would bring various things. The evening was always very casual, people sitting all over the living room and dining room. And after dinner, there would be presents and always a warm, sticky toffee pudding. Yum. Since moving back to Alberta, we're now just 3 hours from family. I spent Christmas with two out of 3 years. We've been back. COVID is the exception. I was very pleased to be back to just us last year, even though we didn't order Chinese food. There can be beauty in simplicity. That's Beth from Edmonton, Canada. Stats haven't changed. Tiny house, 2 adults, 3 pets, lots of yummy hot dogs. Thank you. That all sounds delightful.
It does sound delightful.
As does winter in Canada. It's from Moses. Hi, Matt and Dory, but I know things about Matt, and this is the only email address I found. Longtime Nerdist listener, ran across this thing, wanted to make sure you saw it. Hope you're doing well, Moses.
It's like an academic paper on, you read it.
So long-term effects, No Time to Die, an in-depth analysis of James Bond's exposure to infectious agents. I mean, there's various infectious agents that he's had. Good God. Not only, of course, the drink, but also, chemical agents from various bad guys. Poor travel preparation. He's not getting all the shots he needs. Dr. Nope. Other vector-borne diseases with negligent topical diseases. This is very funny. Everything's written in a pun. Well done to the three of you who wrote this paper. That's funny. Travel Medicine and Infectious Disease, Volume 44. That's cool. Enjoyed that. I will read that. Thank you, Moses.
I'll link to it in the show notes.
And here we go. This is another Canadian email. I love it. I live in rural Quebec. The commercial I've been hearing for the last 6 months or so, time has lost all meaning, are the Volkswagen Taos in French. It's very funny. If I knew how to record it and send it to you, but alas, I'm an old. All good things, Claudia. Live alone, 780 square feet, no kids, no pets. But thinking about cats as I'm losing the battle against field mice and looking for warmth. Two steamies, that's the bun steamed and the dogs are boiled. That's the way to have a fucking dog this year. Thank you, Claudia. Bo won the battle with a mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this week.
He sure did.
There was a mouse outside in the in the yard out and about. And Bo was like sniffing at this. They had a bookcase out by my office that's outside. Bo was like really interested in the bookcase. And I was like, what is he? It's got to be some kind of animal. So when I came out and Bo was there, I closed my office door because I was like, there's something in there he's going for. And I pulled the bookcase away from the wall. And then I saw a little mouse scurry. But then Bo was like, wait a second. And then boom, he bit a mouse. And then he bit it. And I was like, Bo, you got to drop it. And he dropped it. And the mouse was like dazed. And he bit it again, and then the mouse was dazed again, and then I dragged Bo inside. Head first, I had Henry get inside before he saw the, you know, he has not watched Charlotte's Web yet, so. Just like, get in there, bud! And then I took what was at the time a living mouse over to a brushier corner of the yard. You know, and just put him in there and said, I hope you find your friend. Good luck. So, yeah. Bo, the huntress. Mm-hmm. And then we got a picture of Ron's passenger van. They also have a golf cart, which I do see in the picture there. And that is just, I mean, imagine that. One family is in there.
Yep.
That is absurd.
Well, they do have 8 children.
How do you go to... Yeah, do you go to Disney World? Can you imagine how much that would cost?
A lot.
Be like, one day would be $2,000. Imagine getting Genie Plus for 8 people for one day.
Well, 10 people, because 8 kids plus him and his wife.
That is $150.
That's $1,500 in tickets.
I just can't even imagine. Good God. All right, everybody. That does it for the show. Just wanted to remind you all, you can support us on Patreon and get 2 bonus episodes per month. If you want them, they're there. Huge thanks to our Patreon supporters. If you support us at the $5 level or above, you'll get your name read on the podcast each month. You'll also get the back catalog of an absurd number of Patreon episodes are available to your ears. So thank you. To the following: Mary Jo George,
Maud Tremblay,
Mackenzie Erickson,
Megan S,
Magana Prasad,
Melanie Brownback,
Melinda Phelps,
Melissa,
Merrill H,
Michael Roth,
Michelle Saum,
Michelle Kitzmiller,
Mike Zydek,
Mike Kim and Leo,
Molly,
Mariah Adamic,
Nancy Powell,
Nassim Kansari,
Nicola Hill,
Nicholas Skidmore,
Nicole Mustafa,
Nikki Bossert,
Naratha Belagopal,
Oshrat Kaplan,
Paul Sharp,
Paula,
Penny from Massachusetts,
R. Ham,
Rachel Kuzma,
Rachel Silver,
Rob Bean,
Robert Olson,
Robin Kilgo,
Sabrina Stern,
Sadie Massa,
Samantha,
Sarah Dauberman, out of control, Sarah Prager,
Sarah Friedman,
Sarah L,
Sarah Swift,
Sherry Olson,
Shauna Mandel,
Sir Reginald Pennybottom,
SJV,
Sophia F,
Steph Goralnik,
Steve Harcourt,
Susanna Perez,
Tonya Lamos,
Tanya Kershemin.
That does sound like our dog. No, it's not our dog. The Byerses.
The Holterman Clan.
The Kembles.
Tracy Jury.
Tyler Rosewood.
Wendy Fick.
Whitney Hoffman.
And Zara Rethy.
Thank you all very, very much. We appreciate you. Again, you want more episodes? We got Patreons.
Yep.
Come on over. Join us. Please help us keep doing this podcast. All right. Bye.
Bye.